Welcome to the Cleansing Word Podcast with Pastor John of Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa. Join us as we go through the Bible as we encourage your walk with Jesus Christ. If you'd like to know more about Calvary Chapel, Lake Villa, visit us at cclv.org and please share and subscribe to this podcast. Now let's hear a message from God's Word.
So I've said over the last few weeks that I really love this portion of Scripture, John 14, 15, 16, and 17. John 17 kind of stands by itself because it is Jesus praying. He prays to the Father, and he prays to the Father about himself and the work that he's about to do. Jesus prays for his disciples, those who walked with him, and about what was going to take place in their life, how they were going to have everything change for them. And he also prayed for us. He prayed for those who would believe because of the witness, the testimony of the disciples. So right before Jesus was arrested there in the Garden of Gethsemane, he was praying for us. And that is a wonderful prayer that we'll be looking at in just a few weeks. Chapters 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is teaching his final words, and some have titled this the final discourse of Jesus. And it's kind of like the great words of Moses before he went to be with the Lord, or Joshua and his last words that we read about Joshua there in Joshua 24. And here we have Jesus speaking his final words before he goes to the cross, the things that he would want us to know. He is being asked questions by his disciples. He's answering those questions, not like a politician might answer a question, which means your question is never answered. They usually say something, and they hardly ever really answer the question that you have. But he's answering the questions, but he's also teaching. He's teaching about the gift of the Holy Spirit. And this is perhaps why I love this portion the most. I was raised in a denomination that taught the gifts of the Holy Spirit were not for the church today. And as I grew as a young man in my early 20s, began reading through the Word of God for myself, I've been taught in Sunday school. We had Sunday night church, so we also had training union. We had midweek service, so I was being taught the Word of God, whether it was in a Sunday school type class or the church service, five times a week. And I'd heard what the pastor, who was my dad, and the teachers said about the Word of God, but I began to explore the Word of God for myself, and it was this person of the Holy Spirit that began to attract a lot of attention, my attention. I wanted to learn about the gifts of the Holy Spirit for the church today. And here Jesus is teaching about the sending of the Helper in John 14, 16 and 17. He speaks about it in John 14, 26. And today, again, we'll read about the Holy Spirit only in one verse in John 15, 26. And then next week, when we get into chapter 16, we have more of the work and the ministry of the Holy Spirit, not just in the life of believers, but in the whole world. In John 16, we discover that. So I'm fascinated by these teachings here. And I totally forgot, and I looked out the window this morning, and I didn't see a grapevine any longer. I had actually ripped them out at my house earlier today, and they had transplanted themselves somewhere where we didn't want them, and I probably could still find some vine, but we're going to be looking at the true vine. I wanted to use it as an object lesson when we look at Jesus saying, I am the true vine, and the Father is my vine dresser. John 15, verse 1, is that the necessity of being attached to the vine. If there are any grapevines left at my house, and I've never really cared for these grapes too much, they're not big at our house, and they have like seeds, three seeds inside each grape, and they're kind of hard to eat, you know, so it's like I'm not too disappointed. And next time we maybe would choose wiser when we choose the grape that we grow in our yard. And we did make some great grape jelly 1 year out of them, but the necessity of being attached to the vine, if I would have detached them, they would have been at that moment dying because I removed them from the vine. And it's only by being connected to the vine. So our lesson today, the vine and the branches, we're going to see 4 points, and we're going to see the vine and the vine dresser in verses 1 through 8, chosen and appointed verses 9 through 17, hated and persecuted verses 18 through 25. You'll notice your notes are say 21, but that was my mistake. It's 18 through 25. And the Spirit of Truth, verses 26 and 27. There's also something I just want to point out before we get into the teaching, that in this chapter we have the last I am statement in John's gospel. He loved to use the number 7 in writing his gospel. He recorded 7 feasts, 7 miracles of Jesus, and 7 I am statements. And the last I am statement is given to us in John chapter 15, and that is Jesus saying, I am the true vine. That's found in verses 1 and also in verse 5. The other I am statements, in John 6, 35 and 48, I am the bread of life. In John 8, 12, I am the light of the world. In John 10, verse 7 and 9, I am the gate, or we could say the door for the sheep. In John 10, 11 and 14, I am the good shepherd. In John 11, 25, I am the resurrection and the life. In John 14, 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. And I am the true vine, number 7, as we have already pointed out here in John 15, verse 1, and also in verse 5. So let's go ahead and get into our first point, the vine and the vine dresser. Reading from verses 1 through 4, and the word tells us, I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit, he takes away, and every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may bear more fruit. And you are already clean because of the word which I spoke to you. Abide in me, and I in you, as a branch cannot bear fruit of itself, unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, and you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Without me, you can do nothing. So I'm looking up at the top of my notes here in my Bible in verse 3 where it says, and you are already clean. And that Greek word means to be clean or pure in a spiritual sense from the pollution or guilt of sin. And so he's talking to believers. He's talking to his disciples. You're already clean. But there is one exception in that Jesus had not yet paid the price of sin. So this was coming for them. They would soon believe in the resurrected Christ. But Jesus hadn't resurrected from the grave yet. And so we're in a little advance on this. But these guys, they have been hanging out with Jesus for the last 3+ years. And now he encourages them about fruit bearing, to bear more fruit, verse 2. And verse 4, to bear fruit, reminding them that you cannot bear fruit of yourself. You have to be connected to the vine. And then it's interesting, I looked this up, this is from Josephus, the Jewish historian, that he actually lived at the time of Christ. He wrote and recorded a history of the Jews from creation until the destruction of Jerusalem. And he was actually like an embedded reporter on the Roman side. He was a Jewish man, but he was embedded with the Romans. And he wrote about the fall of Jerusalem. But he did talk about Herod's temple and the beauty of Herod's temple. And concerning the bronze gates of Herod's temple, this is what Josephus wrote. The temple had doors also at the entrance, lintels over them of the same height with the temple itself. That's pretty incredible to think about. I mean, if you had a temple that had a height of 45 feet, the doors were as tall as the building itself. But what is interesting to me about this is that under the crown work, so the top, it was spread out a golden vine and its branches hanging down from a great height. The largeness and fine workmanship of these branches of this vineyard was surpassing sight to the spectators to see the vast material. This was made from gold, but also the great skill of the workmanship that was done. And it could be that Jesus, as he was leaving the upper room and they were walking by the temple, maybe they were walking by this gate with the golden branches, this vine coming down, and he gave this illustration to them. I am the true vine, and my Father is the vine dresser. Maybe they were merely walking by a vineyard, or maybe there was no vineyard at all that they had seen. They were very familiar with vineyards, though, there in Israel. And of Israel, the Word of God described them in Isaiah 5:1 as the well-beloved vineyard. And having provided there in Isaiah, God saying, I provided everything that you needed to be a fruit-bearing vineyard. And sadly, years later, God looked at Israel, his vineyard. He says in Isaiah 5:7, I look for justice, but behold, oppression. I look for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Imagine what God would be saying to our nation today if he was looking down upon us. Could he not say these very same words? I looked for justice, but behold, oppression; for righteousness, but behold, a cry for help. Absolutely. But as the vine dresser, we find that God cares for the vine. He takes away the branches that are not fruitful by pruning the branches that were being fruitful, branches that were healthy. He pruned them that they would be able to bear more fruit. By clearing away the gray, the dead branches, the vine dresser can rightly care for the healthy branches. And thus pruning the good branches allow them to produce more and healthier fruit. Every other year, grapevines need to be cleansed. It's not by taking water and washing them. It's by cutting away the dead bark that keeps disease and insects from harming the plant. And it's not that we are to have a every other year washing by the Lord. That's how some people maybe view their Christianity. But daily we are to come to the throne of grace, not to be saved all over again. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, I believe that you are a believer in Jesus Christ. And it's as Jesus said to them, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. The word has had its impact in our life, but we need that tending of the vine dresser and the washing continually of our intentional and unintentional sins. In John 13:8-10, the Lord said, he who is bathed only needs to wash his feet, but is completely clean, and you are clean, but not all of you. Now he's saying that concerning Judas. Judas was not clean, but the other 11 were. And he was telling Peter, all I need to do is wash your feet. I don't have to wash you again. You don't need that complete washing because you are clean. But you do need that wash up, as my mom might say it. I could throw an R in there and wash and really tell you how my mom was a hillbilly in many senses. But it wasn't my mom that told me how to say wash properly. It was my wife, Lily, who got that out of me. But I may slip one day. The necessity, when I said wash up, it made me think of mom right away. Of abiding to the vine. And you can test this on any vine that you have at your home, here at the church, anything out on the property. Cut it away, and death begins right away. And that's the source of growth for us is Christ. We need to be attached. We need to abide. John 8:31-32, Jesus said, if you abide in my words, you are my disciples, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And only by abiding in Jesus can we become fruit-bearing branches. Now, I'd read through verse 5 before, not intending to, but I just liked reading the Bible. I just kept going. But we'll finish it out here, our section 5 through 8, where it says, verse 5, I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, and I in him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered, and they gather them, they throw them in the fire, they are burned. If you abide in me, and my words abide in you, you will ask whatever you desire, and it shall be done for you. By this my Father is glorified, by this my Father is glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you will be my disciple. So I was thinking, as I was trying to read verse 8 and stumbling on that, I was thinking about, this is the third time in John 14 and 15 that Jesus has us asking. He has us asking in prayer of certain things. Ask anything prayers, as I titled it a couple of weeks ago, that he wants us to ask. He wants us to pray. He wants us to seek the Lord's face. But we need to be abiding in the Lord, that we can bear fruit, that we can bear more fruit and much fruit. As you go through this section, you find that there is a progression in the fruit bearing. From verse 2, he bears fruit. At the end of verse 2, bears more fruit. And then we find in verse 5, bearing much fruit. And then again in verse 8, much fruit. And later on, we'll discover fruit that remains, that we are to have remaining fruit. And so God wants us to live fruit-bearing lives. And he reminds us here, without me, you can do nothing. It reminds us of Paul saying in Philippians 4:13 that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. When Martha complained to Jesus about Mary sitting at the disciples' feet, and Martha was complaining to Jesus that he's not helping me. So Martha said to Jesus, tell Mary to help me. And Jesus' response in Luke 10:41, Martha, Martha, you are worried and troubled about many things. And in this life, there are many things to be worried and troubled about. But I think we help ourselves to diminish our worries, diminish our troubles, when we learn to sit at the feet of Jesus. Jesus said of Mary, she had chosen the better thing. And I think sometimes we fail to sit at the feet of Jesus. We fail to cast all of our cares upon the Lord. We fail to remember that without Jesus, we can do nothing. We fail to remember that we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. But in order for that to happen, we need to abide in the vine. Jesus said, I am the true vine. I am the vine, and you need to abide in me. We also have to allow the vine dresser to prune and to clean us, that we will become fruit-bearing branches. Matthew 5:16, the Lord said, let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father. And the purpose of our fruit is that God would have glory, not that we would be glorified. The purpose of becoming a fruit-bearing vine of Jesus Christ is that God would be glorified. And so John 14:13 and 14, we again, that ask anything. He talked about that ask anything prayers, that God should be glorified. And here Jesus mentioning that we would pray, that we would pray for much fruit, fruit that remains, but that God would be glorified. It should be our desire in this life to bring glory to God, that we would be the branches that bear fruit because we are abiding in Christ. Isaiah 60, verse 21, also your people shall all be righteous. They shall inherit the land forever. The branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified, that God would be glorified. We must abide in Jesus in order to have fruitful lives that bring glory to God. It's the only true way that we can bring glory to God and have fruitful lives as believers in Jesus Christ. Second, we see that we are chosen and appointed, verses 9 through 17, but we begin in verses 9 and 10, where he says, "As the Father loved me, I have also loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love." We are to be like Jesus. Just like Jesus keeps the commandments of the Father and abides in the love of the Father, we are to keep the commandments of Christ and abide in the love of Christ. Christians are to abide in the love of Christ, and we are to keep the commandments of the Lord. In John 8:29, the Lord said, "And he who sent me is with me." He's talking about the Father. "He who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him." We are to have the heart attitude of Christ. As Jesus always did the things that pleased the Father, we are to always do the things that please Christ. Believers who abide in Jesus' love will find that it will be easy to keep the commandments of the Lord. Don't you find that? Love can cause you to do things that you may not necessarily want to do at times, but love can cause you to do that. Or love can cause you to develop good practices, good habits. 1 John 5:3-5, John wrote, "For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God?" And so here's John is reminding us, connecting the love of God and the keeping of the commandments of God with the salvation that comes through faith in Jesus Christ, God's only Son. And this is our path to walking in obedience to the Lord. This is our path to being abiding branches of the vine of Christ. This is our path to be able to bear fruit, much fruit, and fruit that remains. In verse 11, "These things I have spoken to you, that my joy may remain in you, that your joy should be full." In this life, we can be joyful one second and sorrowful the next. I can tell you that June 23rd in last summer, I was out on the grounds with two of my grandsons, cleaning up the property, working with tools, having a great day until I came off that ladder and broke my neck hitting that oak tree. And even after breaking my neck, I remember it this way. It was such a good day. But the good suddenly got really bad when I made one foolish move. And you guys kind of somewhat, you didn't live through it with me in the sense of I was the one with a broken neck. So only that, and I wouldn't want to give that to any of you guys. But you had seen my recovery, and praise God that I recovered fully from that. But it was a good day. It was a joyful day. I was out with my grandsons. We were working with our hands, and I was just having a terrific day. But things suddenly turned very wrong. And that can happen in our life. Things can go very bad. But Jesus isn't talking about a good feeling. He's talking about a joy that comes from within, a spiritual joy that only Christ can give. 1 Thessalonians 2:19-20 says, "For what is our hope, our joy, or our crown of rejoicing? Is it not you in the presence of our Lord Jesus Christ that is coming? For you are our glory and our joy." Paul is writing to the church in Thessalonica, and he's saying, you guys, you are our joy. You are our crown of rejoicing, that you believe, that you're walking with Jesus. That is our joy. That is our glory. In Romans 15:13, "Now may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. May the God of hope fill you with all joy, fill you with peace, that you may abound in hope by the empowering of the Spirit in our lives. And such joy can only be found by looking past the circumstances of this world and fixing our eyes upon Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2 tells us, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin that so easily ensnares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Did you see that in verse 2? Jesus looked for the joy that was set before him. The joy wasn't the cross. That was not joy. The cross was the pathway to our salvation. Our salvation was the joy that was set before Christ. And so because of that, he was able to despise the shame and has now sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Sometimes we need to indeed look past the circumstances of this world and fix our eyes upon Jesus. Not that we discontinue from living in this world. Again, living in this world, we find that we are to be fruit bearers, people who bear fruit for Christ, more fruit, much fruit, fruit that remains. In verse 12, he says, this is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. Greater love has no one than this, than he lay down his life for his friends. This is my commandment. So how do we have that path of bearing fruit? First of all, by being attached to the vine, by abiding in Christ, by remaining and allowing the Lord to wash us, to cleanse us, to get rid of the stuff that's bad, to dwell upon the Lord, to pray and ask for the Lord to work in our lives. And then also by walking in the commandments of God. And here's the commandment he gives us, to love one another. Just as Christ has loved us, we are to love one another. And then he goes on to speak about the sacrificial love. Greater love has no end than this, than to lay down his life for his friend. This is sacrificial love. Jesus, I believe, talking of himself, he's going to display this great love in within 24 hours of saying these words. But also, he has become the example of this love to us. 1 Thessalonians 4:9, Paul wrote, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. Jesus taught us to love one another. Some have asked, if God is so loving, why do we see so much suffering in this world? The world's suffering came as a result of the fall. But God, in his love for fallen humanity, sent Jesus to be a remedy of our sin. Truly, there is no greater love than this. Because of God's great love, Christ laid down his life as a sacrifice for our sins. And 1 John 4:11, John would write, beloved, if God so loved us, we ought to love one another. Because of God's love, we are to love others. 14 through 17, you are my friends if you do whatever I command you. So the third time he's talking about keeping the commandments of God, walking in the ways of God. Verse 15, no longer do I call you servants, for a servant does not know what his master is doing, but I've called you friends. For all things that I heard from my Father, I've made known to you. You did not choose me, but I have chosen you. I appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should remain, and that whatever you ask, here again, the Lord telling us to ask, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give to you. And these things I command you, that you love one another. And so now we're brought in close relationship. He begins by talking about friends and servants. And there was a difference. We could say, call the servants employees today. And you might be an employee in earshot of a boss. But unless you're brought into the planning meetings, unless you're kind of on the inside, you may hear some things that a corporation may want to do, but unless you have the whole plan laid out in front of you, you are unaware of all that is planned. I'm just thinking, as I was thinking about this, when I was a brick mason foreman, the first thing I was always handed on a job site was the blueprints. They were bringing me into the plans of the building. And we would normally show up on a job site where all we had was a concrete foundation. And there was nothing else there. Maybe some pre-electrical, pre-plumbing, underground work being done. But you couldn't envision what the architect had in mind without the blueprints. And then the materials and the specifications that he had demanded. And here God has brought us in. He calls us friends. He allows us to know the plan that he has for this world. He's given us the blueprint for that in his word. We've been given his word that we would know how to walk thereby. We're not merely servants. We are friends. We serve, yes, because of the great love that the Lord has for us. And how do we become part of the family of God? How do we become servants, friends of God? It's through faith in Jesus Christ. In James 2:23, James reminds us of what Scripture taught in the book of Genesis, that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, for he was called a friend of God. And we have that same path of friendship with God through faith, through believing in God, the work that he has set before us by believing in Jesus Christ. As friends, he has promised to fill us in on the details. He has given us his word. And it's something that we are to explore, to dive deep into, to rehearse, to read over and over again. And just recently read a book where the author was talking about that Christians need to hear the gospel every day. It's like, wait a minute, the gospel is for those who do not believe. Yes. But also in hearing the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ every day, it reminds us of our place, our walk, our relationship with God. It encourages us to walk in the ways of God, that we would be those who would abide in Christ, that we would become fruit-bearing branches that not only bear fruit, but bear much fruit, more fruit, fruit that remains. As friends, God has promised to fill us in on the details. In 1 Corinthians 2:9-10, he says, I have not seen nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things that God has prepared for those who loved him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Paul was proclaiming that eye has not seen, ear has not heard, but God has brought revelation. He has given us the revelation of his word. He has still given us the Holy Spirit to gain a better understanding of his word, to connect the dots in our own lives. Not only are we to become friends of Jesus, but we discover that we have been chosen. We have been appointed. We are ambassadors of Christ. We've been chosen for salvation. 2 Thessalonians 2:13 tells us, because God from the beginning chose you for salvation. And from God's perspective, he has chosen us from the beginning. From our perspective, we chose him when we asked Jesus to be the Lord and Savior of our lives. It's kind of like two sides of a coin, where one side might read, chosen, whosoever will enter into this gate. There's that whosoever will side of the coin. And then the other side of the coin reads, chosen from the foundation of the world. We've been chosen. We've been appointed to bear fruit, fruit that remains. Therefore, may we have this confidence to ask the Father to empower us to go, that we might bear such fruit, fruit that remains. That's something that has been on my heart as now a grandfather and now a great-grandfather. But being a dad, being a grandfather, now being a great-grandfather, I think of some of that lasting fruit in my own kids, my grandchildren, a grandson so far, great-grandson, that being part of that lasting fruit, fruit that remains. I can tell you that I am fruit that remains of my parents because they were those who walked in faith. My dad, I said earlier, pastored a church over, I didn't say where, but over in Zion, Illinois. And I am fruit of sitting under his teaching and being part of that fellowship for so many years. But not solely just family has been in that influence in my life. There were others who have been influences for me and continue to influence my life. There have been past teachers and current teachers that I listen to and I grow from and I glean from, books that I read, that I might have this lasting fruit. Proverbs tells us that a good man knows how to give gifts to his children, to his children's children. And I want to be such a man. Not just when it comes to my family, but when it comes to faith, when it comes to this church, that we would be those who would desire to give good gifts, that we would have fruit that remains. So the friends of Jesus are those who have been chosen and appointed by him. And I'm just going to back us off the teaching. I'm not going to go through all of 15. We'll pick it up next week at this point. I just feel like that this is a good place for us just to wait upon the Lord at this point and to ponder the things that have been written thus far as we have in our text looked at this point, John 15, verses 1 through 17. We've learned that God is the vine, Jesus. Jesus is the vine. God is the vine dresser. And that in order for us to have fruit, to be fruitful Christians, we must abide in Jesus Christ, and we are to be fruitful in order that we would glorify God with our lives. And here in verses 9 through 17, we learned a lot about abiding in Jesus' love, having that joy that remains, having a love for one another, being friends of Christ, but that we have also been chosen and appointed. And that acknowledgement of being chosen and appointed comes when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is when we begin to understand that we have been chosen and we have been appointed. Maybe you don't feel chosen. You don't feel appointed. Maybe you need a good vine washing in your life, spiritually thinking. Jesus said, I am the true vine. My Father is the vine dresser. And the Father, he prunes. He washes. And maybe we're in a place where we just need that pruning. We need the washing that we would be able to bear fruit. Maybe the lack of bearing fruit is because we've been trying to go things on our own. Maybe we've been troubled about things in this world. We don't have the joy of Christ in us. And we haven't seen the fruit that we desire, that we all desire. I'm going to close out by looking at Psalm 1 and verses 1 through 3. I think this fits perfectly. And talking about the fruitful life, fruit-bearing life that we find in Psalm 1, verses 1 through 3, it tells us, blessed is the man, I'll add woman, blessed is the man or woman who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his or her delight is in the law of the Lord. He meditates in his law day and night. She shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf shall not wither, And whatever he does, whatever she does, shall prosper. That part of verse 3, where it says, it brings forth fruit in its season. Every vine, every tree has a season for fruit. And we've been compared to being either a tree here in Psalm 1, a vine in John 15. And I believe that there are seasons for fruit. Think about the seasons that our world goes through every year, the cycles of winter, of spring, of summer, and of fall, the time of the harvest. In the spring, we anticipate the harvest, but we have to do the work in order for the harvest to come. Lily and I have 5 fruit trees on our property. Our lovely peach tree did not bear fruit at all this year. I don't know what happened. I was not involved or engaged in doing any of the work. And it could have been that we had a storm in the springtime that just, you know, took the blooms off. Usually that would be, we had a big storm in 2018 that kind of limited the fruit we had that year because of a storm. I'm not sure. All I know is that there is not one peach on our peach tree, and we're already missing it. We should have been eating fresh peaches by now. But we have an apple tree, and that's the point I wanted to get to, that has never bore fruit, and it is, for the first time, full of apples. And you can look out our window and it's like, wow. But then you go to pick the apples and it's like, ooh. They're all chewed up with bugs. And they're no good. Because the vine dresser, the guy who is supposed to be tending that tree, it had never produced before. Maybe an apple or two, but I was really at the point of ready to cut it down because it was just not bearing fruit. And now I know it's capable of bearing fruit and much fruit. But you have to tend it if you want good fruit. And we did not get good fruit off our apple trees this year. Our lives are much like that. There needs to be that tending. We need to abide in Christ. We need to keep his commandments. We need to walk in his ways. We need to be filled by the Holy Spirit. And these are things that need to daily take place in our lives as believers. We do need to hear the gospel being preached every day. That's one thing that has encouraged me through the years as a pastor. Many of you know my stories. In fact, I think Dave Dew the other week was finishing one of my stories for me. I didn't even have to finish my story. He knows my story so well. We know the Word of God, but I think sometimes we need to be reminded of what the Word says. And that daily practice of meditating on the Word of God, waiting upon the Lord, that he might do his work in our lives, the pruning, the washing, the cleansing, that we might bear fruit. I can guarantee, you don't need to raise your hands, but I'll raise mine. Want to bear fruit for Christ? I do. Absolutely. The Lord has given us part of that process in John 15 today. Father, thank you for your word. Continue to speak to us now. As we wait upon you in this last song, I pray, Father, that you'd work in our hearts. As Pastor Kevin is down front, for anyone who has a prayer need, opportunity to pray, to kneel at the prayer benches in the front, Lord, work in this sanctuary today. Lord, maybe it's the challenge of abiding. And we've just, Lord, we're here, but we feel, Lord, we really haven't been abiding. And maybe it's just an act of repentance, asking the Lord to forgive you this day, that you might, from this day forward, to begin to abide in Christ as you know you should, to walk in the ways as you know you should. Maybe it's asking the Lord to reveal hidden sins, Lord, to prune, to wash, to cleanse. Lord, we ask that your Spirit would work among us this morning, we pray. In the name of Jesus, amen.